Heavenly Father, may these words I speak be faithful to your written word, and by your grace lead us to hear your true and living word. Amen. We are not equipped to judge, and yet we do it every day. Most of the time, we are doing this subconsciously, but sometimes we may find ourselves thinking, "Oh, look at what they're wearing today. Where do they think they're going dressed like that?" We may be thinking unpleasant thoughts about the way somebody was driving as we ourselves drove to church this morning. We may have seen a celebrity do something we consider inappropriate, and yet again make a comment judging them against our standards. But there's one thing all these examples have in common, and that is the outer appearance or outward behaviours that have been exhibited. Our first reading today from 1 Samuel tells us of God sending Samuel to Jesse of Bethlehem. One of Jesse's sons has been chosen to be king. Now Samuel headed off to Bethlehem with his own ideas of who it is God may have chosen. In chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord.'" It's natural for us to have our own ideas, but these ideas are often not the same as God's. We see in verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider this, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him.'" The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I'm a fan of Disney, particularly the animations. I enjoy watching the animations or cartoons. And when I was reflecting on how God looks at the heart, it reminded me of Aladdin. I don't know if you can recall this, but in Aladdin, at the beginning, Jafar, Iago, and a thief named Gazim visit the mystical Cave of Wonders. And do you recall what the cave's entrance? It was appearance like a tiger's head. The tiger's head warns, "Only one may enter." And they are referred to as the diamond in the rough. Jafar orders Gazim to enter, and soon it is apparent that Gazim is not the diamond in the rough. He is killed quite violently by the tiger appearing to swallow him up. Jafar knows he needs to find the diamond in the rough. Jafar knows he cannot risk attempting to enter the cave. He will certainly meet the same fate as Gazim. He knows he needs to find just the right person to enter. He finds out that it must be Aladdin. From his outer appearance, Aladdin is a thief, stealing to live and get by. He's poorly dressed, wearing nothing more than rags, and commonly known as a street rat. It's safe to say that he's not seen by many due to his status, or rather, lack of status. Being the thief he is, it's not hard for Jafar to get the guards to capture him and place him in the palace dungeon. And Jafar, being the person he is, disguises himself as an ugly elderly beggar, and he joins Aladdin in the dungeon. They manage to escape the dungeon and get to the cave, where Aladdin, pure of heart, helps the beggar and agrees to go into the cave. We all know the rest. Back to the point at hand. The imagery of Aladdin entering the Cave of Wonders, the outward appearance of someone who may not have been worthy to enter the cave, and yet he is the diamond in the rough. His heart is pure. When we consider Samuel's task, he sees nearly all of Jesse's sons, and still the Lord has not indicated that any of them are the one chosen to be anointed. And then there's one more, the youngest. And where is he? Tending the sheep. They wait for him, and he is in fact the chosen future king, David, the shepherd boy. In 1 Samuel verse 7, we see that God is looking at our hearts. He doesn't care what we look like, what we are wearing, or care for any of those things that we can easily fall into judging others for. No, God sees into the heart and chooses us and the plans he has for us based on what he sees. In our second reading today, Jesus provides us with two parables using nature. He teaches in ways people then and now can understand and connect with. The first parable of the growing seed and the second of the mustard seed. In the parable of the growing seed, in verses 26 and 27, Jesus directs us towards a man scattering seed on the ground, and that seed sprouts and grows whether the man sleeps or gets up. It grows, though the man does not know how. Not many of us can remember every conversation we've ever had, but maybe we can recall some of the significant conversations we've had. We don't know what impact our conversations have on other people, party to that conversation, but we hope that it is a conversation where a seed is planted, and we trust that God will send the Holy Spirit to nurture it, help it, and help it to grow. I recall the conversation I had where, when finished and reflecting on and contemplating what was discussed, I made the decision to find out more about Jesus. And I am sure many of you can recall those conversations too, or even the moment you made that commitment to become a follower of Christ. But that's not necessarily where the seed was planted. I can't recall for certain where the seed was planted for me, or where the journey to follow Christ... Hang on, I'll start that bit again. I can't recall for certain where the seed for the journey to follow Christ was planted in me. Maybe it was, in fact, in infant school, where I first learned of Jesus. Maybe it was when a neighbour took me to Sunday school when I was 4 or 5 years old. It was only once, and I have no recollection of what happened at Sunday school. I just know that they took me. Maybe I was the disruptive child. Maybe I cried wanting to go home to my parents. I don't know, but it was only ever the once. Though I don't know when the seed was planted in me, I know that God does. That seed lay dormant in me for years. Wow, I thought it did, but on reflection, I can see it wasn't dormant, but a slow grower. God planted the seed. He determined the route it would take to germinate, to sprout, and to grow. And he will determine the time of harvest. When we plant seeds to grow veg, plants, or flowers, we tend them to help them grow. Though we don't always see the power of the growth taking place, we may be surprised when we see the stalk bursting through the earth. We trust that the seed will grow. The difference with the seed sown for the growth of God's kingdom is that God nurtures this seed. We do not need to see its growth, though there are times when we are fortunate enough to see the growth of an individual. It's not necessary for us to see the growth of the seed that we have planted, but it is necessary for us to trust that God has it in hand. He will set the pace of how that seed grows. He sets the pace for it to develop from the seed to the stalk, to the ear, to the full grain in the ear, and then for it to be harvested when the time is right. It's in his timing, not ours. In verse 28, it starts all by itself. The development from seed to harvest for the kingdom of God is not actually all by itself, but by the hand of God, the Holy Spirit, and our walk with Christ. There's no harvest without growth. The rate of growth is determined by God. There are times when growth is slower than others, but it is all in accordance with God's plan for us. There's a hidden power at work in the development from seed to harvest. The divine provision meets our limitations. Seed gets planted by our conversations, those incidental conversations where we meet people where they are, where we receive the inquiry, comments, or complaints about God or the Christian faith, and we respond. We respond in a way that God guides. This is where we act as the sower and plant the seed, and we trust that God does the rest in his time. We are not the only ones at work. The Holy Spirit and God are working. God's work is not always seen at the time it's being done, but on reflection we can see the growth. We should not judge only by what is seen on the surface any more than a farmer would judge a harvest just after the seed has been sown. When a farmer sows the seed for his crop, he is not able to guarantee the size of his harvest. He is likely to expect that some of the seed sown will not germinate and grow. He has to wait until the harvest to know the value of his product. It doesn't matter what he does, the seed will grow or it won't. It's a bit of a game of chance. He can't guarantee how much he will harvest in comparison for what he has sown. The mustard seed was considered tiny, insignificant, and easily missed. And yet we are told in verse 32, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. At this stage of Jesus' ministry, there may not be the clarity that his disciples and followers had hoped for. They can't see the work being undertaken because it's beneath the surface. They only see the size of the mustard seed and do not recognize the strength and power contained within it. Just like the appearance of Aladdin, the street rat, the judgments we can make, both intentionally and unintentionally, are only surface-level views and understanding. The work God does is not always seen by us. The fruits of his work are evident in the growth of the church, our individual journeys and strength of faith and trust that we develop as we grow. The early church is the mustard seed, persecuted, downtrodden, seen as insignificant and an inconvenience, and yet through the work of the apostles, many church leaders, through the generations and the followers of Christ, that's you and me, we can see that the Church of Christ has grown huge in comparison to its beginnings. And yes, it is possible to be sheltered by its branches, and yet there's still room for more growth. It's not possible to see trust or faith, just like it's not possible to see love. But the actions based on those feelings are visible and seen, often openly and unashamedly witnessed. We can often see the roots of a plant or a tree, but this is by disturbing it, uprooting it, and potentially replanting it elsewhere. But the kingdom of God is not a kingdom that gets uprooted. It's a kingdom that grows and stretches to where it is intended to go. Though the kingdom grows and stretches, at times it rests. Just like the farmer or gardener rests the soil in preparedness for new growth, we should expect the same for the kingdom of God. In resting, it enables what was once a new way of working in God's kingdom to become embedded and frees up space for new rounds of growth. While we are not able to see the growth and the extent of the roots of the tree, we are able to rest under its shade, and birds can perch in its branches. Like the farmer mentioned in the first parable, where we are not able to see the growth of the seed until it sprouts through the ground, we are not able to see the extent of the roots for the tree grown by the mustard seed. God is working even when we are not able to see it. And when we are able to recognize it, there are plenty of times when God is working on the seeds that have been planted by so many. In all that has been mentioned in this talk today, let us not overlook someone because of their outer appearance, but for what they can do. Our standards and expectations are just that, ours. They are not the same as others. They are certainly not the same as God's. We have heard today in the reading from Samuel that God looks into the heart of man in order to choose those he wishes to lead his people. We have heard in our gospel reading that those seeds are sown, they grow no matter what man does. And we have learned that something so tiny, seemingly insignificant, can grow into something bigger and stronger than expected. For me, all three elements of our readings today bring us back to looking at things the way God does, and not through our eyes, where judgments can come in and diminish the abilities of those around us by looking at the outward appearance. Where we are not able to see the benefits, God is at work. Where we are not able to see growth, God is at work. God is at work in our waking and our sleeping. He is furthering his kingdom. God looks into the heart. He sees the smallest, most insignificant of beginnings and turns it into greatness. We need to do our part, continue to walk with Christ, pray, and trust in God. And who knows what trees will grow from the tiny seeds we plant. Amen.